The other Prime Minister. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in heaven, there was a snake. And it said, "Dear God, may I go into the Garden of Eden and tempt your children?" And he said, "Please don't. I don't want you anywhere near my children." But he said, "Watch me." And there God's children were, playing naked. Adam and Eve. And the snake goes, "Cover your minge, please." "Cover your minge." And they're like, "We don't need to do that, for we are God's free children." And he goes, "Oh yeah, have some of that apple." And Adam says no, because he was good. And Eve says, "Do you think I should?" Because she was naughty. And they had some of the apple, and Eve instantly covered her minge. And she said, "Adam, you have some apple too. It'll make you want to cover your cock." And he said, "Will it?" And she said, "Yes." So he had a bit of apple and covered his cock. And God came to the garden. He said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what's going on here? What have you been doing?" And he said, "If you're going to be like that, leave." So they left. And that is how me and you are here today.
Yes. Hello. Welcome to the Podtivision podcast. The podcast where every 2 weeks we tell you a story from the Bible in our own way. Hey, it's Podtivision, isn't it? Podtivision podcast. This week we're on episode 136. And yeah, we're on a new book, a whole new book. Don't you dare close your eyes.
Don't close your eyes.
Hey, and I've got a lad in front of me. It's Tom Laurinson.
I've got a lad in front of me. Hello, and I've got another lad in front of me, Lucas Kirkby. I was at a gig in London, in Brixton, this week. And this guy goes to me, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I live in Manchester." And he goes, "Are you a Manchester lad?" And I said, I'm a lad, I live in Manchester, but I can't say it for my Manchester lad."
Yeah. What are the qualifications for that?
Don't know.
Do you have to be born there? Do you have to have the walk? Do you have to have the knoll cut? We down here like that?
Who's that thing from Adam's family?
Yeah, it's my little pet. I think if I had thing as a pet, I'd have thing on my head.
Would you?
It'd be like quite comforting, wouldn't it, to have a little hand always on your head?
I'll give you one guess where I'd have him. "What are you doing in there with thing? Doing the homework."
Well, for thing, I know he's a hand, but for thing, would that feel more like oral?
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Mucky.
What? You've just done the impression, and you mentioned Eve's minge, and you're calling me mucky.
I'm going to have to bleep you now.
You're going to have to bleep me. Yeah? Yeah, but do you know what the problem is with thing? Having thing on your head for hand is he's a bit too hyperactive. Because when thing walks around, he's like that, isn't he? Like a little spider or something. He's not slow and methodical, which I think you'd want for a hand. Anyway, how have you been?
How have I been? Your mind is in the gutter. Have you been watching old Russell Brand clips? Filthy.
No. I've been watching recently Inspector Morse. And I've been enjoying it thoroughly.
Inspector what?
Hey, well, I've not had that much free time recently because I've been back doing my German course. Now, I passed the language exam, but now I've got to do the... It's called an orientation course, and there's 3 modules. It's about history of Germany, politics in Germany, and then something else. I don't really know what that is yet. And we're doing politics at the minute, and it is boring. And we've literally been reading through legislation. And there's
how are you spelling boring?
B-O-R-I-N-G, boring. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you spell it.
We've been reading through this thing called the Grundgesetz, which is a base. It's a bit like the that thing in America. What do they call it? You know, like the original document that sets out how the country.
Declaration of Independence.
No, something like that. It was in the document. Yeah, I can't remember. But anyway, it's like the basis of the law that can't be changed, which is about treating everyone equally and human rights.
I think over here, we call it the Magna Carta.
The Magna Carta. It's the Doomsday Book of Germany. Yeah. But anyway, it's bloody boring, but it's not about human rights and stuff. So we were reading through that. And then the task was, you had to read about a situation and then you had to explain whether that went against these rights or whether it was not a problem. But some of the people in the class didn't understand what the activity was. They thought that they had to give advice to the person who was in the situation. So, for example, one of the topics was, one of the stories, scenarios, was that there was a gay couple that wanted to move into a flat, but the landlord didn't accept them. And later they found out that the landlord is homophobic and didn't accept, let them live in the flat because they're a gay couple. So,
yeah.
So the activity is that against the rights, which obviously it is. But one guy puts his hand up and goes, why don't they just pretend to be brothers until they get the contract? And the teacher's like, no, that's not the activity. It's have they, you know, gone against the thing or not? And he didn't get
it. But
you
see, if they get caught shagging and people think they're brothers, they'll still go to jail. Good point.
Teacher's lost control a bit now. And then later on, there was the thing about someone, it's like so-and-so is working as a waiter in a restaurant. And they've had an accident and now they've got scars on their face. And the manager of the restaurant has now got them working in the kitchen because they don't think that customers want to see someone with scars on their face. This guy puts his hand up again and says, why don't they wear a mask? And she's like, no, this is not what the activity is. Are they allowed to do these things or not is the question. But yeah, so that's been lighting up a bit of a boring topic, really. But yeah, I'm excited to do
I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd done that in my exam questions at school. John and Bill are having a competition to see who can count the most balls. What method should they figure out the quickest to figure out how many balls they have? John and Bill need to get a life. That's that answered.
Yes. Tick for you. Hey, I've also got some of my pottery. Do you want to see some of the things I've been making?
Yes, please.
I know some of the people who are only on the audio won't see this, but I made
I'll
this
describe
little,
it to them.
I made this little bowl. It's like a flowery bowl.
I can't believe you made that. That was brilliant.
I made that with my hands, but it's quite cool because you can see like where the fingers have gone into it. So I made that little bowl.
And do you ever eat out of it?
No, not yet. And then I've got like a plate that's in a similar style.
Oh, I'd eat off that. Imagine a load of biscuits on that.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Load of biscuits on that. And then I made another little bowl. This time I used the sausage technique, where you have a base and then you roll up the clay into a sausage and wrap it round the top. So you can smooth it out, but I quite like this effect.
Have you done it twice?
Yeah, I've done it twice. Well done. Yeah.
Yeah, but how'd you do it twice?
What you have to do is you roll the sausage like that, and then when the sausage stops, you have to smooth it down so it's a slant, and then you make another sausage, and you smooth that up so it's a slant, and then they come together, and then you keep going higher and higher up.
Like and this that. Is what our expats are doing abroad. They're rolling sausages.
And then I made a blue tit, but it looks like it's got glasses.
That's brilliant. It looks like you.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be the design of the blue tit, but I made that. And then the final thing I made, this is smooth because I used a mould, but I made like a candle holder thing.
Bloody hell.
They're good, aren't they?
Brilliant.
They're a bit rustic, but you put a candle in there and then you could see it through the stars, the holes in it. Oh, and there'll be lots more where that came from because they made about six pieces on the whatchamacallit, the thing that spins round. Yeah, so I've been having a go at that. It's been very nice, though, to do something new and a bit different.
Well, you're a good boy, aren't you?
I'm a good boy. Have you been up to much this week?
Not seen you in a while, have I?
No, a couple of weeks, I reckon.
I cancelled my chiropractor.
Oh, yeah. Permanently.
Well, I sent him an email saying, I've gone on an unexpected holiday.
Oh, yeah. One of them.
And I don't know if you can tell, but I've not gone anywhere.
Yeah, well, I can see from your background you're not on holiday. Didn't want to say anything.
I've gone on a holiday in my mind. Look at me. Guess where I am?
Oh, I reckon you're in Barbados.
I'm on Jupiter.
Oh, it's on Jupiter. That's nice.
It's nice here, everyone. The space goblins are nice to me.
I was one offering you a Jupiter smoothie.
I saw a Dune 2 at the Cinematheque.
Two Dune. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Was it good? I kind of like the first one. Got a bit boring, but I heard the second one's a lot better than the first one. Is that true?
It's very nice to watch.
Yeah.
Very good. Want to put me in Dune 2? I could be in Dune 3.
Yeah. I did see a very funny video of someone pretending that they were Donald Trump as the sandworm. That made me laugh. Funny. Yeah. Like, I'm Shailud. It's me, the sandworm.
I tell you what. Anytime someone does an impression of Donald Trump, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It always makes me laugh because every other impression is boring to me. But whenever you hear someone going, I don't know. Biden, you know, he's wrong, he's a dog. You know, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, because, like, I think when you see like, old impressions shows or impression things, you think, I always think, oh, people in the past were much more, like, unique and definitive. And I think, I don't know, we probably do have a lot of people like that, but I feel like Donald Trump is so much of a caricature that lots of people like to do impressions of him, don't they?
I've heard from people that, I've seen interviews with impressionists that they say that there's not that many good voices anymore because people don't drink and smoke as much as they used to.
Oh, really? So there isn't a much, like, yeah.
I think that might be a cop-out, though, because people still speak in distinct manners.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't blame that on drinking drugs, can you?
No. Crazy. Like, Paul McCartney doesn't do drinking drugs, but people can do good impressions of him.
Yeah.
He did do drugs once, didn't he?
Did he? I'm reckoning he's done a couple of times.
No, thanks. Yeah, we all used to. We used to smoke spliffs back in the day.
That's good. I think you've got a bit of a calling for impressions.
Yeah, Cilla Black was there. I said, hey, Cilla. Why don't you piss off, you miserable old cow?
All right, Paul, do you want to have a go on this?
Who's that, Ringo?
Oh, that was Cilla Black. I got a lot of hash.
Do you want to have a go on this? Ringo with his knob out. Yeah, all right, Paul, do you want to have a go on this?
Cilla Black. R.I.P., may I say. I think we didn't say it when she first went, but did she pass away before the Pottervision podcast? Maybe she did. Anyway.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it don't matter, does it? Don't matter. Can I tell you something traumatic I saw last week?
This guy doing this on the podcast.
No, it wasn't that traumatic, but it was a bit disturbing.
I saw an old man be hit by a car in front of his wife and it broke her heart and she died. Okay, thank you for that, Lucas.
Well, the thing about it was... No, well, I sometimes, well, regularly, I like to go to Subway for my lunch, have a little sandwich. And I went in there the other day and I sat down and there was a man sat opposite me and he had a foot long. And I don't know about you, but I normally start eating my Subway from one of the ends. This man, right, picks up this foot long like this. And he goes straight into the middle of it and he goes like this. And he starts.
Was it not cut in half? Footlong's always cut in half in the UK.
This was not cut in half. He had it like that. He was like, it was like Dracula sinking his teeth into a Romanian wench. It was disturbing. And it was very, like, vicious. It was like he had something against the footlong sub.
That's funny.
I've never seen
anything. Did you intervene?
No, no, but I watched with intrigue, I must say.
Excuse me, is this a German thing or is this a mental thing? I must know.
Mental. Yeah, I've never seen anything quite like it. It was very like primeval.
Primeval, you're scaring me.
Yeah,
I know. Oh, it's got the word evil in it.
Sabertooth tiger sinking its teeth into a deer's flank. It was horrible to watch. Have you seen any people eating weirdly this week?
No, I went and got ramen on my own in London. That was good.
Hey, on your own, that's the key to success, isn't it?
Do you ever get ramen?
Yeah, sometimes. Is that like the noodly soup?
Yeah, but it's not that soupy.
No.
It's, like, you know, it's not like not too brothy.
Yeah, yeah, I like a ramen, yeah.
Had a boiled egg in it.
Yeah, I like that. It's like a bit of a wild card, isn't it? But it does work. I think it's quite common in that style of cooking to have a boiled egg.
I slurped it all away.
Yeah. Because some Polish soups will have a boiled egg in it as well. You just stick an egg in a soup. We wouldn't think of doing that, would we? Tomato soup with an egg in it.
No. I don't know why, because we have eggs on everything else.
Yeah. But if you want to make your own ramen at home, get yourself a pot noodle and a boiled egg, and you're away.
I went to Wingstop while I was in London as well.
What the hell is Wingstop?
American wing chain. And I don't know if they were just... You know when you get like the thinnest meatless wings in the world? That's what I was given. And I was like, I won't be coming back here, how dare you.
Yeah. Why haven't you given me a wing from a meaty bird?
I don't know if you ever do this, but whenever I'm in a place I'm not used to, I'm terrified I'm going to get robbed all the time. So I'm walking around London with a backpack thinking that I'm going to get robbed any moment now.
It's odd, isn't it? Even though like the chances are probably exactly the same. But then I'm always conscious that I don't want to look like a tourist or like I'm lost. Because I feel like if there were robbers, they'd target tourists. So I'm like this, walking in the wrong direction. Just because I don't want to look like I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary. I was looking for somewhere to eat. I wandered around for an hour looking for somewhere to eat. But any time I was about to decide on somewhere, I remember a staff would look at me and I'd just not go in.
Yeah. I want the no eye contact cafe, please. Do you know what that is?
They look too eager. I was like, honestly, it happened about five times. I was outside a market stall.
Yeah.
Of this guy was making Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. Oh. And I was like looking. And this guy goes to me and says, like,
yeah.
And I was like, no, 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 no. I looked in another shop. This guy was doing salt beef sandwiches. I was looking at the menu outside, looked at him, and he stopped what he was doing completely, like cutting. And he looked at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he just stopped cutting, just looking at me like that. And I was like, well, I guess that's not the place either.
Listen, guys, if you are a restaurateur and you would like Tom Lawrenson's custom, yeah, when you see him walk past, tell him to piss off.
Just don't look at me.
Yeah. Yeah, no eye contact and go like that.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Keep your eyes on those chicken thighs and off me. Right?
And of course, this is the first chapter of the newest book that we are to read, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. We start off chapter one, The Other Minister. Lucas, would you like to take it away?
I will. Well, I'd like to say, bloody hell, it's nice to have a book in my hand. And yes, my bookmark is from Shakespeare's House and Gardens, from when I went to Stratford as a teenager. Because, obviously, I lost my book on the train. But now I've got this book, and this is very dear to me, this particular Harry Potter book, because this was the first one that I got for myself, and I remember it coming out. Because my dad and my sister used to always read the Harry Potter books first, and then I would have a go at them later. But both of them couldn't get through Order of the Phoenix. They thought it was too long. So they gave up at Order of the Phoenix. And then I remember being like, this is for me, this one. I've read Order of the Phoenix. I've got book six in my hands. Just me and you. And I remember getting excited reading it.
I remember thinking today.
Yeah.
I was thinking back, I remember thinking, oh, there used to be such massive gaps between the Harry Potter books. I was looking online, I was like, how big were these gaps? Maximum 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, when will it come out?
It's mad, isn't it? And now, like, because lots of things are more spread out now, aren't they, with books and films and stuff? Like, if you take something like, I don't know, like the James Bond films, like in the 60s, they'd release one every year, and now it's like once a decade for you lot now.
Yeah, and they're all crap.
Yeah, they're all crap.
All crap. Bond, knock that man out.
Well done, Bond. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because things take longer to produce, or I don't know, longer to edit.
Well, as we all know, a baby takes 9 months to produce.
Yeah, and come on. Nothing is more impressive than a baby, is it? So how's your film only taking 2 years? Should be less than that.
Would you like to see a baby now?
Yeah, have you got a baby with you?
What?
Been born, I imagine, judging by the hand, the hands that were used. Is a baby being born? Lovely. Yeah, good. Yeah, so I have a lot of fond memories about this book. I'm looking forward to it. Chapter rundown, do you want one or are you not bothered?
Go on then, I'll have one.
It's the other minister. Who's the other minister? It's the Prime Minister. Yeah, Tony Blair, judging by the date of this book. He's in his office and he's worrying about stuff, yeah? A bridge has collapsed, someone's been murdered, there's freak weather, yeah? Next thing you know, fudge is coming out of the painting. Not chocolate, a man, yeah? He's a politician, he's in a suit. And he's like, listen up, I've been sacked, the world's gone to shit, and the new Minister of Magic is coming here. Next thing, this bloke turns up, Rufus Scrimgeour. And he's like, It's me, Rufus Scrimgeour. I'm the new Minister for Magic. And guess what? There's a wizarding war. Loads of people are going to die. And then he disappears, and that's the end of the chapter. What a chapter. Hey, I did like that it was a bit of a twist, the title, wasn't it? Because at first, when you read it, you think, oh, the other minister just means the Prime Minister. But then I think it was a bit of a twist because really the other minister was the new Minister for Magic at the end. It's revealed that there's a new one.
If Cornelius Fudge has been dismissed, why is he still making visits to other world leaders?
I know. Well, he's like, oh, I've been given an advisory role. It's like, but then, this is what happens with everybody. Hagrid gets expelled and then he becomes gamekeeper. Fudge gets sacked and still gets to be an ambassador for wizard kind. Just do what you want, get sacked, you'll end up just doing something nicer.
Yeah. So this is Tony Blair, and he had a difficult week.
Yeah.
Do you think this is where Tony Blair just thought, ah, fuck it, let's start a war. Blame it on the wizards.
Iraq, do you mean?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I think so. Yeah, well, there's a bit later on where, because he's being visited by Fudge, and Fudge's like, oh, we've got a war on and it's the worst thing ever. But like, if I was Tony Blair, I'd turn around to him and say, a war, there's like 30 people on each side. That's like just gangs, isn't it? How many soldiers have I sent to Iraq? That's a war. That's a war. Not your little skirmish. Gangs.
You got a gang war, yeah?
Yeah. World War II was like 40 million people. What's going to happen with yours? I know every death is a tragedy. I do agree with that. I don't think it classifies as war.
Have you thought about putting Voldemort in prison? Listen, when Napoleon lost the war, we exiled him. Have you exiled Voldemort? Have you considered that?
No, we dropped him off at a forest in Norway. That's not good enough. We need something official.
Yeah, well, Napoleon came back when you exiled him.
Right, Tony Blair. We don't want to hear about Napoleon. Every Prime Minister's question time is Napoleon this, Napoleon... We want to hear about the current crisis today.
I saw a video this morning of, like, a man whose grandfather had met Napoleon.
Oh, bloody yeah. Was he nice? They say never meet your heroes.
The bloody Napoleon.
Napoleon.
So, as a kid, I opened this book and I remember thinking, what the hell? Where is Privet Drive? Why? I remember where I was reading it. I was in my bedroom. I remember thinking, why? I had to start the book again because I was like confused. Why are we in number 10 Downing Street? And why is Tony Blair shitting his britches? Right?
Yeah.
This is the second time the book has opened not at Privet Drive. The first being Goblet of Fire, where you get to see Voldemort at that little house, barring that old man to death.
Yeah.
And now here again. And it's good, you know. Important diversion, because it shows things are getting serious. Would you agree? You know, this is no longer a little Hogwarts thing. There's a snake loose in a school. It's not that anymore. Now, we're turning up at number 10 Downing Street going, listen here, right? We've been mucking about and we might have ruined the world. How many of you is there? 30. Right. And also, there's a giant loose. Right, now you tell me. Yeah? No more schoolboy messing about. Worldwide catastrophes are imminent.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think it's a great start to the book. That it's completely different. Because I think it is nice starting with the Dursleys and having a bit of fun with, I don't know, someone getting blown up or falling out of a window. But none of that, yeah? We're at number 10 Downing Street. The White House for American listeners, yeah? We're in London. Right. Shit's going down.
They won't mention what Prime Minister, what other president that the Prime Minister's waiting a phone call for.
Yeah, no, I wish they would.
I think it's America.
Yeah, it could be, couldn't it? And that'd be Bush,
would
it?
Excuse me, I'm waiting for a phone call from George W. Bush. Well, we're going to send him out golfing. He'll call again tomorrow. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I don't know, it might have been Clinton. I don't know. I did not put my name in the Goblet of Fire.
By name, I mean... And by Goblet of Fire, you know who?
I did not have sexual relations with that half-giant. You bloody did.
You bloody did. What's he doing with that cigar? Anyway.
Bright green flames burst into his room. Now enter a portly man. We have confirmation that Cornelius Fudge is fat.
He's portly. Very nice way of saying that someone's a bit round, I suppose, being portly. Portly gentleman. It must be odd knowing that, because he's the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, for example. We think it's Tony Blair. It must be weird knowing that you're not actually fully in charge and that there's some eccentric bloke that's actually in charge of all this magic stuff and could do whatever he wants, given half a chance. Must be strange, that, mustn't it? Getting sworn in as the PM.
Say more to this.
Well, you're the PM, aren't you? You don't know he exists. You sign in, you think, you know, I've worked, you know, 10 years as a local councillor, another 10 years as an MP, then I was, you know, shadow minister or whatever. Now I'm finally the PM, yeah? I'm the ruler of Britain. And then some bloke comes out of a fire and says, I can intervene if I want to. You'd be a bit peed off, wouldn't you?
Well, you're a bit fat. Excuse me.
Nice. First thing I noticed about you.
Yeah, if I was Prime Minister, as you say, I would not enjoy these visits from Fudge. I'd be like, oh, who are you? Right? You're the landlord of Britain, are you? Great.
Landlord of Britain.
Why can't we tell the Muggles that we exist? Well, if we did that, they'd want us to be solving all their problems, wouldn't we? What problems can you solve? As far as I'm concerned, Hagrid, you only make problems. I don't think you've ever resolved anything. I think you've just been a troublemaker this entire book series. Book series? What do you mean? This is my life.
Idiot. Just don't bother with him. He is no help to anybody. Don't even try and reason with that giant. He is useless.
The portrait cannot be removed. The Prime Minister has tried. He's had carpenter in. He's had an assistant try and move it. I don't believe that. I think I'd destroy it. I'd use a hammer. I'd set it alight. I'd draw over it.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not being funny. If what's his name, Sirius Black, can do his claws through that portrait of the fat lady, you can definitely destroy a painting. Easy. I don't think he's tried. I think he's just tried to pull it off, realise it's been, like, screwed into the wall, and then thought, nah, I'll do that another time, and then forgot about it. Mm. I wanted to ask a question. They say that the Dementors are no longer working from the Ministry, and they've all left Azkaban. Yeah? Who's working there now, then? Who've they got to replace them? Have they got normal wizards doing the same duties as the Dementors? Come on, suck out the criminal's soul. Have a go.
Who could they get in?
Just kissing him. Try harder.
Ow! You're not allowed to bite. I'm trying my best. But he says also,
yeah,
the Dementors are wandering around England and breeding.
Mm. Yeah, I'm surprised Hagrid didn't introduce one of them to grow up. Make like a mix. A grow up Dementor. Just a giant one like that. After God.
Giant one like that. Giant one like that.
I think so. Let Hagrid's dad have a go. Hagrid should have a little half brother. So that wouldn't even be a giant, that should be half man, half Dementor. I can't. No, I'm not going to be too graphic, but I was trying to imagine them procreating. I can't imagine them getting excited enough to. Because they're quite wispy, aren't they? Dementors. How are they doing that?
They're quite wispy. Yeah. Can you imagine a Dementor with a stiffy?
No, that's what I was thinking. Not really, no. I can't imagine that, because they're all just quite... like that, aren't they? I can't imagine them getting going.
Finally,
Dementor, Dementor!
Dementor, Dementor. Dementor, Dementor! No, there are two Dementors, and they're shagging.
Oh, sorry, Dementors. I didn't know anyone was in here.
Finally, the Prime Minister has been told that Sirius Black is innocent. Sirius Black, is he with them? Ah, it appears we got that one wrong. Apparently, Sirius Black was a good boy the whole time, even though we did have 50 witnesses, and he was murdered on ministry property. There's now an inquiry. Oh, there's an inquiry. Oh, there's an inquiry. Well, there's an inquiry. That'll be good. There's an inquiry. That'll solve all our problems, won't it?
Yeah, finding out what happened and writing it down.
You put him in prison for 13 years. You can do inquiry on that. You can do inquiry on that, or just his death.
Yeah, he's dead. Everyone saw it. What's the problem? Everyone saw him fall through that curtain.
Fudge has disgraced himself as minister.
Well, I wonder what that smell was. You've disgraced yourself.
History will remember you as the man who stepped aside and allowed Voldemort a second chance to destroy the world we have tried to rebuild.
And he did.
Voldemort has not returned. Voldemort has not returned. Harry Potter's a liar. Dumbledore's a liar.
You proved Dumbledore, right? Now you're going to go down as the weird bloke who allowed Sirius Black to die.
Messed it up. Hey, but I will say though, this new Prime Minister, he seems a lot of things that Fudge is not. He's like, no nonsense, getting into it, getting things done. He seems like he's rough as a brick shit house. You need that for war, don't you? Do you know what I mean? You
where's
need someone who's going to make hard decisions.
Where's Scrimge been all this time?
But now maybe he was the MP for South Ryslip.
This is like all of a sudden they've made Superintendent Chalmers from The Simpsons into head teacher.
Well, there's always like, because I remember at school you'd think, if you weren't that keen on the headmaster or the headmistress, you'd think, oh, that other teacher would probably do a better job than that.
Oh, I loved that when there's a nice... everyone. Oh, I wish you were head teacher, miss. If you were head teacher, we'd all come in and kiss your feet. We'd love you.
But it changes you, when, I think, come in the end.
How about when one teacher wasn't good at disciplining the class? Or, you know, just, I don't know, didn't really like it when they got out of hand. So instead they'd go get a different teacher. Like, right, I'll go get a horrible teacher then. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, no.
Bring an horrible teacher in.
You're not going to behave for nice, teacher. I'm getting a horrible teacher in. We'll be good.
And we need to talk about your protection. We need to talk about your security.
I already have brilliant security. Kingsley Shacklebolt is the best receptionist I've ever had.
He's a wizard.
He's a what?
He's a wizard, Tony. He's a what? He's a wizard.
So funny, he had no idea.
Yeah. They've missed out on that in the film. Having that scene which is like a mirror of Harry's a wizard. You're a wizard, Harry. Saying to Tony Blair, he's a wizard, Tony. About Kingsley Shacklebolt.
I think I was expecting to see this scene when I watched the film, but I didn't.
Yeah, because how does it start in the... I don't even know how that film starts. Half-blood Prince. Is he at the Burrow?
Dursleys?
I don't know. If anyone does know, because we don't know and can't find out, let us know what's the first scene in the Half-Blood Prince movie. He's recording again.
Wait.
What we were saying now.
Kings of Shacklebolt. Yeah, we were trying to figure out how the film started, Half-Blood Prince, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, one day we'll find out, eh? But yeah, what a bloody start. I feel like the stakes are already super high. Everyone knows Voldemort's back. The politicians are talking to each other. It's exciting.
I kind of think, though, right.
Yeah.
How has he not figured out that Kingsley Shacklebolt isn't one of his own?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like one of the most toughest auras in the world. It's like going, you know, not Kingsley. He's the best secretary I've ever had. And don't touch my cleaner, John Cena, either. He's so good at what he does.
Well, I know. And also, like, I feel like Kingsley Shacklebolt's schedule is not going to allow him to be the Prime Minister's bodyguard for the whole time. Because he's always, like, helping Harry move somewhere or travel somewhere or doing stuff for the Order of the Phoenix. How's he fitting it all in?
What is his role? Is it secretary?
He's something.
Let's say it's secretary. Is the Prime Minister not finding it unusual that he's taking him home and standing outside his door all night? Well, you know, if you've got any...
Yeah.
I feel like you don't need to do that.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, what is the deal with that? I don't know. It's a very interesting question, and I'm sure somewhere there's a very interesting answer.
Not from you, then.
No, not from me. I don't have any interesting opinions. My opinions are boring. Go on, ask me something, I'll give you a boring opinion on it.
What do you think about restaurants that don't give you a bottle of sauce but give individual sachets?
I think they should give a bottle of sauce. Now, you might agree with me, but that was a boring opinion, wasn't it? It was boring. Can't deny that, could you? Give us a bottle of ketchup. What do you think about that?
What do you think about children smoking?
I think it's unhealthy. Again, probably an opinion you agree with, but boring, innit? It'd be much more interesting if I went, I think every child should smoke. Don't make that a soundbite. I think every child should have a go. See, if I had something like that, it'd be more controversial, wouldn't it? Wait, because we're not celebrities, are we? We're not well known. Because I think if a celebrity says something controversial, it gets straight on the news, doesn't it?
Mm.
But what would we have to say to end up getting on the newspaper? I don't think we could. I don't think there's anything we could say. We're not famous enough.
We could.
Like what?
Cancelable stuff.
Yeah. Like what? Chips shouldn't be in England.
Who shouldn't be?
Chips. No more chips for people in Britain. You're not allowed chips anymore. We draw the line at jacket potatoes. Yeah, I don't think I have any controversial opinions.
You do. You eat a fucking egg yolk all in one. It's the last bite of a full English.
Well, I do. Is that an opinion? I don't know if that's an opinion.
Well, you want the rest of the country to be doing that.
Me, eat an egg yolk in one. You go, disagree with you there. Yeah. Egg yolk in one. I like it. I like, this sounds a bit odd, but I like having it like dissolve into my mouth. I like the texture of it.
Well, there's no getting around it. You are a bit odd.
It's just because of the egg thing?
No.
Just probably other one. In general, a bit odd.
When I went downstairs before this podcast to have a little break, I had a spoonful of hummus, just like that. Like,
Yeah, that's odd, isn't it? Spoonful of hummus.
How dare you call me odd?
What are you, buddy, Mary Poppins, with your spoonful of hummus to help the medicine go down?
A spoonful of hummus makes the podcast go smooth. You can't rhyme smooth with smooth. Make the podcast go smooth. Podcast go smooth.
Go down
in the most delightful way. And many more.
Oh.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Mary Poppins, can I have a word with you? Song.
Oh.
Can I have a word with you, Mary Poppins? My kids have started to become very poorly. Turns out you've been giving them a tablespoon of sugar to have with cowpaw.
Have you ever had a sugar and butter sandwich, Lucas?
No, I've never had a sugar and butter sandwich. Sounds awful.
I can't believe you've not had a sugar. A lot of people, I would argue, 50% of our listeners have had a butter and sugar sandwich.
I want to prove this because I've never even heard of a sugar and butter sandwich.
Is Martina?
I've heard of a butter sandwich. No, she's not. She's in Poland at the minute.
Well, this is your chance.
Could try it while she was here. A sugar and butter sandwich.
Do you not think she'd look at you like you're a madman?
Yeah, because it is mad, I think, sugar and butter sandwich. Have you had one?
Yeah, probably.
Why do you not know?
It seems familiar to me that I've had it. I can imagine it in my mouth.
Yeah. I've had a chip butty, I've had a crisp butty, but I've not had a sugar butty.
Yeah.
That sounds like a nice name for your partner, isn't it, sugar butty? All right, sugar butty, how have you been?
You're not wrong. Should we wrap up?
Talking of sugar butty, fudge. He then leaves through the fire, leaving the Prime Minister. If you were the Prime Minister, would you tell a soul that you've met wizards? Or would you keep it secret?
Well, it's annoying they only meet the Prime Minister because you can't do things now. Because Prime Ministers don't work on their own. They work with a team of people. And if he starts saying anything, I think giants did that, they're going to think he's insane.
Yeah. They need to get Fudge into the House of Commons, do a couple of tricks to prove magic's real, mm-hmm. and then start debating.
Order! Order! Order of the Phoenix! Order of the Phoenix!
Order! Now, will the right honourable gentleman please pull 10 coloured hankies out of his sleeve? Right. Hey, that's good. All right, we believe you about the Wizarding World. What'd be something good to... Yeah, if you were a wizard... Because if you were a wizard, you could make millions off being a stage magician, couldn't you?
We've said
that. But you'd
this
have
before.
To make it so... Have I?
I think we have. It sounds so base.
Does it? All right. Maybe I've had that thought before.
Right. How many men walking in to green fireplaces are you going to give this chapter out of 5?
I thought that this was a great start to a great book. It's different, yeah? We're not pissing about anymore at the Dudleys. It is Prime Minister's time, okay? Yeah. He's in number 10 Downing Street. And stuff's happening. People have been murdered. We haven't even mentioned that. A bridge has been collapsed. And there's like a freak hurricane or something. It's all happening, right? And we've got a big book. And it's going to be action-packed. Look at that. Yeah, whoa. Thick. I thought it was great. I'm going to give it 4.5. Men walking into fire out of 5.
Mm. For me, yeah. I agree with the things you said. And for that reason, I'm going to give it 4.5 men walking into green fire.
Fantastic.
Right, are you ready for this week's episode of Quiz?
Yes.
Quiz, 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 quiz. How many cars fell off the bridge that collapsed?
Oh, God. 12.
Correct, a dozen.
Yes.
What colour were the flames that burst into the room?
Green.
Correct. What was said to be the actual cause of the hurricane?
The Dementors.
No, giants.
Was it?
Yep. What is the
is
name?
Is that right?
What is the name of the new Prime Minister?
No, I don't like that.
What do you mean you don't like that? Hey, this is not an open
book. Why would the giants cause wind? I don't like that. Let me look.
This is not an open book exam.
He says here that, yeah, but this is after the exam. This, he definitely mentions it somewhere. Well, I'm going to check that. I was wrong. But it's the Death Eaters. It says it's the Death Eaters.
What do you mean?
Not the Giants, but I said Dementors.
It's the Death Eaters using the Giants. Right. And finally, who is the new Prime Minister of the Wizards?
Rufus Scrimgeour.
Wrong. It is Newt Scamander. Unfortunately, Lucas, you have lost the quiz.
Now it's time for the nation's favourite and most fair segment. It's Hedwig's Droppings. We're not alluding to owl poo. We're not alluding to droppings. We're alluding to the messages you send in when we allude to Hedwig's droppings. Yeah. What's in a big old owl gob this week? Well, we've had a couple of lovely 5-star reviews. The first one is from Hanban Hanban.
Hanban, thank you, man. Sorry, don't I'll cut that out.
What?
I just made fun of someone's name.
Well, I don't know what it is. Anyway, Hanban Hanban. Hilarious. I've been binge listening to this, and Lucas and Tom are too funny. I'm also reading the books with my little boy, and it's so hard not to laugh at inappropriate moments as I remember their take on each chapter. Oh, well, thank you very much, Hanban Hanban. We've had another message from Lily T, 5-star review, that says, bloody brilliant. I'm on episode 5, and I bloody love it. Tom, will you marry me?
No.
But seriously, this is great. Well worth a listen. Bye. So, Tom, will you marry this person who's left a review?
Marry yourself.
Marry yourself if you're that bothered. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, Lily T. Now we've got 3 patrons and then we've finally caught up. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Now we've got a baby Harry called Jack. Now, Jack says that once you said that people could give ideas for what they wanted the baby story to be about.
Yeah.
And Jack has said that he'd like Tom to be the teacher from School of Rock and that Jack is a baby that plays guitar. His dad is mean to him and Tom knocks him out and sings him a song. Basically, you're Jack Black in School of Rock and he's a baby that plays guitar. And it's Jack Rowe.
Jack Rowe. Baby, you were getting straight A's. But unfortunately for you, Jack Rowe, you've been stuck in the dumb days. Don't take much to memorise your lines, for you and your father I'm going to hypnotise. And then the magic man said, come around, do what magic man do, not what magic man say. Say what? Now please may I have the attention of the class. Today's assignment, kick some ass.
Kick some ass!
Excuse me, I don't like it when the teacher of the class says ass to me. And also, why, Miss Mullins, did you not ask to see this man's photographic ID? This school is $30,000 a term, okay? And you're not checking a man's ID. Did you not think for a second, Miss Mullins, maybe you should cover the class?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's have a look around the classroom. My name is Jack Black. Dewey Finn in this film. Who have we got here? Your name is Jack as well. Your dad's been being mean to you. Well.
No, there's no claim that there's been any physical.
Let me call your dad now. Bing, 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 bing.
Hello, this is Mr. Rowe.
I've got your son hostage.
Yeah, good. I'm mean to him as well.
No, no, no. You're going to need to come save him. Guess what my ransom is?
Battle of the Bands winner?
Nope. $2,000 cash and your wife's pyjamas.
Well, I finish work at 5. It'll take me about an hour to get home and get my wife's pyjamas and then I'll be there.
You're finishing work now. This is an emergency.
No, no, I work shifts 9 till 5. I have to clock off and clock in.
Tell them it's an emergency. They'll understand.
Right, hang on a minute. Can I go and get my wife's pyjamas? It's an emergency.
No, tell them your son's been kidnapped.
Oh, sorry, yeah. My son's been kidnapped. They think I'm lying. It's him. I'm on video call. They said no. They said it'd be unpaid.
What time can you get here then?
Hour to get back. Half an hour, have a bit of dinner. And then about 7.
Can you get
to school?
Can you get here? Are you going to bring the $2,000?
Yeah, and my wife's pyjamas, yeah.
Okay, let's fast forward. Ring! 7 o'clock. Did you bring what I asked for?
Yeah, I've put them in the same bag. Is that all right?
I don't know. It's for two different people. Let's have a look here. Yep, that's a pyjama top.
Pyjama's
all right.
Looking all right. There we go.
And also...
Yeah.
Your son requested I do this. I feel bad about this already. So I am sorry, but...
Oh! Yeah. Right. Anyway, come on, son. Still got time to get you to badminton.
And that's your baby story.
That's your baby story. We hope you enjoyed that, Jack. And now that you're back with your dad, I'll give you a kiss. Got a bit of my nose blood on your head.
Okay.
Now, our next baby is another baby Harry, and it's Georgia Rose.
Georgia Rose. Georgia Rose. Georgia Rose. Georgia Rose. You are at the baseball match. Charge! You have wandered up to me, away from your father. You've gotten lost. And you'd like the autograph of a famous baseball player. And you've asked me, and I've like, all right, let's go get you one. I pick you up, and I'm walking down the steps to get to the field. Hot dogs! Hot dog! I don't want a hot dog. What about the baby? No. Don't feed a baby hot dogs. Choke. Popcorn! No, neither. Excuse me, Mr. Baseballer. Babe Ruth, is that you?
Hello, Babe Ruth speaking.
You're saying speaking when I'm talking to you one-to-one?
Yeah.
On the phone.
I know Babe Ruth speaking.
I know this is highly unorthodox,
yeah.
But I have come across this baby And this baby, who does not speak English, has told me...
I don't like being called baby. It's babe. Babe Ruth. not baby Ruth.
I'm talking about...
That's my niece.
I'm talking about the baby I'm holding, okay? Not you, baby. I mean baby her, not baby you.
All right. What are you asking me? Because I've got to hit another ball in 5 minutes.
This baby's just told me that they would like an autograph. Have you got a pen?
No. I'm playing. This is my match.
Hello, everyone. 20,000 people angry. Yeah, minute. Can I have that?
Right, just give me a pen. I'll get this guy an autograph and then I'll carry on.
Can I have that baseball out of your hand?
This one?
Yeah. All right, can you make it out to Tom, please? And that glove would be nice as well.
You're not having my glove. I need that for
catching. It's for the baby.
Fine.
Lovely.
But you're going to want me trousers now as well, aren't you? All right, can I have me trousers?
Don't take Babe your trousers,
trousers
off.
No, the... take them. And me underpants. Babe Ruth's underpants. Have them as well. You're not having me helmet.
Helmet. Well, let's have your top then.
Yeah. Hang on. Helmet off.
All right. So, there you go.
Helmet and vest stay on.
I put all the clothes on the baby. Glove on the hand. Put her on the pitch. And that's your baby story.
Right, Tommy, you looked after my baby and they've come back wearing Babe Ruth's underpants. What's that all about? Thank you very much, Georgia Rose. Now, we've got a final baby, Harry, and it's Iona Tarbutt.
Iona Tarbutt. You are at the airport. Your parents have sent you on an excursion on your own because they're too busy to go on holiday. But they want you to go. Because they're at work and they can only afford for you to go, so you go on your own. I'm lining up with you. It's an easy jet package holiday. We're about to get on the plane. This is lovely, isn't it? Getting on the plane, and I see the cockpit door is closed. And I say, baby, would you like to meet the pilot and have a look in the cockpit? And you say to me, oh, not right now, but I will. So, okay. We get on the plane, sit down. Please listen to the safety instructions. Boom. We'll be serving drinks and food in a minute. Anyone like any perfume, scratch card, lottery tickets? Cigars, anything like that. Boom, boom. So next to the baby. It's fun, isn't it? Going on holiday. And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't need to talk that much, you know. It's a 4-hour flight. I'm like, yeah. Up in the air.
Yeah.
Looking out onto the sea below us. God, imagine if we fell in the sea, we'd die, wouldn't we? Okay, thank you. And I say, hey, should we go look at that cockpit? And she goes, I don't think they'll let us, but sure. Stand up. Walk up to the cockpit. Me and the baby. Excuse me, this baby would like to see the cockpit. They go, it's highly unorthodox after what's happened in recent, in the past 20 odd years, but we'll allow it. Cockpit door opens. Hi, are you the pilot?
We're just flying above Battersea Power Station. Yes, sorry, I'm the pilot, yes.
I bet you've not, do you often take visits to the cockpit?
Only if they're babies.
And me.
I'll allow it this once. You're not 9'11", are you?
No. I'm a 30-odd and she's 1.
All right, great. All right, come in then.
Can I sit in the seat next to you?
Yeah, sit in the seat next to me. Out of the way, Dave.
Do you mind if you put in the baby on your lap?
No, I'll dandle it.
Right, what have we got here then? Are these your controls?
Yeah, left's left, right's right, and the rest is aircon.
Do you mind if I have a go?
Have a go. Hey, steady on. You're doing a bloody loop-the-loop there. Bloody hell. Let me put my seatbelt on before you do that. Bloody hell.
Do we have to go to Antigua? We can go somewhere else.
If you go right, you'll end up in Dundee. Do you want to go Dundee?
I've got a gun.
Oh, you told me you weren't 9/11. Liar. Right, take the baby back. Give that here.
Are you mad at us?
I'm fuming, actually. This is supposed to be easy going, this flight.
Do me a favour. Don't tell the air hostess.
All right, I won't.
I've not had a chance to get a drink yet.
There's a special pilot's fridge there. Take one on your way out.
Let's have a look. There's a head in here. A man's decapitated head. Is that you? Have you done that?
Yeah.
And that was the baby story.
Very good. That was Hedwig's droppings. This has been Pottervision, the podcast where we read a chapter of the Harry Potter books. Hey, we're going on tour. And we've got a few coming up in April. We're going to be in, where are we going to be? We're going to be in Birmingham. We're going to be in Leeds. We're going to be in Dublin. And we're going to be in Belfast. Those are the ones coming up. And then in May and in July, we're going to be all over the shop. London, Brighton, Cardiff, Swansea, Hull, Sheffield, and lots more as well. We're hoping to go to other places as well. So, keep your eyes on the website, pottervision.com. Most of the tickets are available now for the shows that we're doing, and we'd love to see you there. Mm. And if you'd like your own personal baby story and have access to over 75 bonus episodes of the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/pottervision and support us. And we're currently doing the 5th Harry Potter movie, so you can check that out. Otherwise, we will see you next time. Episode 137, Chapter 2 of The Half-Blood Prince, Spinner's End. You have been a lovely-looking Tom Laurinson.
And you have been the ever-so-charming Lucas Kirkby.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Pottervision podcast. The music was performed by Jack Evans. If you'd like bonus content and to support the show, you can visit patreon.com/Pottervision.